What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Buckets and Banter. I am your host, George Marshall, along with my co-host, Jeffrey Omarion Bendel.
I like this.
I really wish that this was your middle name because then all of your articles could be Do Your J-O-B, which I think would just be absolutely fantastic. Imagine your brand. It would be so much different if the brand of Jeff Bendel had a middle name such as Omarion.
It's not too late. Not too
Or
late. You can legally change your name.
is it too close to POB and that could be a problem?
Oh, facts. I don't want to be a pop. Job pop.
You've got 99 problems, but your job ain't one.
Facts.
We're really excited to record. First and foremost, I apologize to our listeners for the tardiness regarding the recording of these episodes. That is entirely on me. We are trying some new things with regards to the time of the week that we're recording, when we post. Just so everyone is aware, we are posting this midday on Saturday in an effort to try and gain some new listeners and traction over the weekend. Again, $0 production budget. We're just going to try and figure things out and move forward from there. But in the week and a half or so off since we've recorded last, do you have anything to say to the people before we get started?
Not really. That it's also worth noting there isn't always something new happening every week. So we're coming up with new ideas just out of thin air sometimes. So
This is another one that's out of thin air. So we're really excited about this episode. We're actually going to continue on the path that we did from the previous episode, in which we talked a lot about recruiting and we talked a lot about just a series. We kind of centered our entire episode around one topic, and that was really the goal and the purpose of that. The rankings, I thought, was a really productive episode for us to talk about its impact on recruitment and whatnot. Today we're going to talk entirely about offer culture. So specifically in this wave of comparison, what does it mean to receive a scholarship offer and how that's such a high honor in collegiate sports and specifically for collegiate basketball. And we're really excited about that because we're going to talk about all the pros and cons and we're going to get into that in 1 minute. Before we do that, what I wanted to start with is a quick shout out to a close friend of ours. This afternoon, Dory Hines announced that he will, in addition to working for Myers Park as the head varsity boys basketball coach, is going to be the Team Loaded South 16 and under head coach. I'm thrilled, obviously, by this. This is someone who I advocated for tremendously for the position. I think that Dory's ties across the state of North Carolina make him a logical fit. And I know that you know Dory well, so huge shout out to him as we continue to get that process started going into next spring and summer. But do you have anything to say to your boy?
Yeah, no. Shout out to Dory. Loved and respected by many, including myself. So I'm sure he'll do a great job.
He
Both.
truly is one of the most, like, I say well-rounded in the sense of like he's a total like old school kind of hard-nosed coach. But he's also one of the most hilarious people that I think I've ever interacted with. And I'm pretty sure that you may have wanted to say something to Dory that you couldn't have on this podcast for the sake of it being made for listeners of all ages.
Sure.
Let's get into the offer conversation. So I think it's important for us to start before we get into any of the pros and cons with just understanding and defining what a scholarship offer means. If you're active on Instagram and you're active on Twitter and you're active on social media, you see this from kids on a daily basis. And it's a much bigger deal than just having a post on social media. So, can you kind of explain to the listeners that we have what is a scholarship offer or what is an offer?
I mean, generally speaking, an offer is when a college extends an opportunity to a athlete in high school to play at the next level. They vary obviously by level. You have Division III, they're more of an academic base, but then generally speaking, you're talking about athletic scholarships from the D2 NAIA and Division I level. This is kind of a blurry spectrum for a lot of folks because we see a lot of kids get offers before you can actually commit or before you can actually do anything more than verbally commit, which nowadays I don't know is worth very much. We've seen tons of kids get the DePaul offer in eighth grade. I mean, remember Sky Clark and Amari Bailey committing. I can't
Sure.
imagine what bag they got in eighth grade to go. But to me, an offer is represented by when you can sign the paper and commit and put your letter of intent and go to that school. Until then, it is illegitimate as far as I'm concerned.
Well said, just point blank and period like that, huh?
Yeah, why not? I mean, until you can commit, what does it matter? Until then, you can just be recruited over. You are not really in the inner workings of the long-term plan, unless obviously with exceptions of the highest level talent at these levels. So.
Right. What you're seeing a lot of colleges do now is they're also asking some pretty direct questions to student athletes and to coaches or people within their immediate circles, such as, if you were to get this offer, would you commit? Are you in a situation where this is a school you want to attend? Like, this isn't just something that is not thought through. So the reason I say that is because for student athletes who are receiving any type of legitimate scholarship offer that they can commit to, that is a massive deal and a massive accomplishment, regardless of the level. Now, obviously, everyone will say that it is this great accomplishment to achieve this at the Division One level, but we've actually already talked about this on this podcast. Like, earning a Division III opportunity is not easy. Earning a Division II or an NAIA, a junior college opportunity, none of these things are just handed out. I mean, the reality is coaches are thinking, and coaches and their staffs are thinking constantly about which student athletes they feel are going to be the best representatives of their program and help them win. And I think that that is often kind of this lost thing that it's just kind of thrown out, or what does it mean? Like, a committable scholarship offer is a massive deal. It's a
Right.
massive deal in the career of a player. And any player that has a situation like that, you are very blessed and you should continue to be motivated by that, in my opinion.
Yeah, and especially I think on the heels of our rankings talk, it's always important to remember, it doesn't matter where you're ranked. I mean,
Right.
ch you should be chasing scholarship and college opportunities, first and foremost. And rankings are really not a reflection of that. Run your own race in that regard.
That's really well said. Can you talk a little bit about how offers vary by level?
Sure. I think especially nowadays we see we see a lot less schools extending offers, one early and two in large numbers to these athletes. Unless you're a five star, one of the top 10, 20, 50 players in the country, even that, you see those guys aren't accumulating 20 offers necessarily, even the high major talents. So, which we saw 5, 10 years ago, pretty regularly. As that's pretty common at the high major level. As far as lower levels, I think you see a lot more of schools being very patient, doing a lot more of homework as far as they are not able to just offer the highest, AJ Dibansta types. They have to kind of figure out a way to still try to chase higher major, like high major-ish talent, while still being a mid-major program, and trying to figure out how to do that within the confines of their resources and their level. Then you see more of like the low majors. They're also chasing a higher level, but they're closer to a fringe, if you will, with Division II, where you see a lot of fluidity between the low major and Division II levels of just talent in general. I think you and I can both agree we see
Right.
Division II programs and that could be the low major Division Ones every single year. So, and we've talked about that before, but a lot of those schools are now getting a little bit more picky with the offers that they're doling out as well, just because you see a lot more kids in the cycle and they can kind of pick and choose who they want. So, especially regarding high school kids. And then you see Division Twos, they're really not as motivated to offer a ton of kids early because what's the motivation? I remember Queens was really infamous for doing this years and years ago, that they would offer kids, but they didn't want it to get out. because that was kind of an indicator for Division One schools that these kids are probably more a Division One player. And
Caleb
that
Matthews.
several, yeah, and several kids got taken in that way. I mean, Nick Pringle, obviously, he was one that came to mind. But so these higher level D2 schools really don't have a ton of motivation to just offer the kids that they like, because then that really relays that these kids are maybe the higher, they're maybe, like I said, that fringe, they could maybe play up here, and that gap is not as large. So then in Division Three, they really have no rush either, because again, what's the incentive? You see a lot of these Division Three programs, they've only started offering here between July and now. And you see a lot of the Division Three kids will get offers and commit pretty quickly.
Sure. I think that I really like the way that you kind of explained it from the top down. What I will say, and I think again, just an important understanding to have is that when you're starting to talk about offers, Jeff mentioned this, but I really want to double stamp this. When you talk about the Division One level, that is a full, we are assuming within this conversation that that is a full scholarship to attend the school, room, board, and then potentially whatever NIL is impacted or the collective bargaining that impacts that. What I will say is, in talking to a number of Division I schools recently, there's a very real chance that based on the fact that the NCAA has shifted to such a place where student athletes, especially Division I basketball players, are now seen as what is a school employee, essentially, with the collective bargaining that exists. There's a chance that scholarship offers are gone out the window regardless, because all of that money will just be supplemented by NIL money and collective bargaining money. So that is obviously a bigger conversation that's on the table, but it is important to understand the direction of where NIL is going in that way. The level with the greatest variance in scholarship availability is the Division II level. I think that that's a very important understanding for people to have, because what is often thought of is like, oh, well, he's a D2 player. Like, why don't they offer him? Why don't they give him this? Why don't they give him that? Guys, Division II schools do not have the same budgets as Division I schools. I know that that's this like crazy earth-shattering thing, but in the Division II level, you literally have teams that have full scholarships and NIL packages. And then you have schools that maybe some of them have between three and five full scholarships to give. Those are not the same thing. Now, there's a great variance in Division I basketball too, but the difference is that you're still considered a Division I school. And the allure of that is going to lead to some type of benefit in recruiting, whether or not people choose to admit that or not. Now, again, to me, I think that that's a great understanding to have, because for one, it shows student athletes, you've got to find a way if you're kind of one of these fringe guys who the most dangerous part of recruiting right now is if you're in that fringe D3 to D2 level. It's always dangerous because people don't know how to recruit that level in terms of, do I want to wait? Do I not want to wait? Do I want to take a risk, et cetera? Guys, you got to have great grades. Because the easiest way for you to package scholarships at the Division II level is to have academic money coming in once you apply to the school, which you still need to do. And then, in addition to that, getting yourself in a place where then you can package that with some athletic money. And so I think that not everything is just as it seems. That's one of the biggest parts of this conversation that we'll continue to get into, is there's real depth and nuance and knowledge to this when you start talking about these different levels. And then at the Division III level, that's almost exclusively athletic or academic, excuse me. So in addition to it being academic, you might be able to apply from an outside scholarship perspective, but there is no athletic money there that is going directly towards student athletes' board, room and board and tuition. So the greatest variance is at that Division II level. And it's important if you're being recruited by some of those schools that you ask those type of questions. You have to ask the questions. What does the scholarship look like? Where does it come from? They may have you be on the team and you only have academic money. You may, and understand this too, guys, when you get into these Division II levels, there is a massive difference in scholarship potential between a state-funded Division II school and a private-funded Division II school. There is a massive advantage to being in the state-funded situation. So all of these types of the conversation, I think, are really, really important, but the variance is key to understand and to ask questions about.
Yeah, I would agree.
Can you talk then about, and this is kind of the last part that we'll discuss before we get into the culture itself of just scholarship offers in general. Who's being prioritized for this right now? Now, obviously, like we can go to the portal, like that's kind of an obvious number one, but can you kind of rank what you think is being, who is being prioritized to earn scholarship offers?
Yeah, I would say in regards to the high school level, you see kids at all levels are being prioritized, but in different ways. As far as offers are concerned, really kids that are being prioritized early on are just kids that show a lot of promise, whether that's they're already really talented. You see a lot of, I remember back when Team Loaded 15s got Penn State offers and they're for their entire team, and Ole Miss offers. None of those kids ended up going to those levels, but that was kind of just the point of now I think teams are getting a little bit smarter because you have to just to keep your job.
Yes.
So they're prioritizing guys that are sure things. You see, like Florida has the luxury to prioritize a guy like Jones Lay, who doesn't need to come in right away and give them immediate minutes, but he's just going to be a developmental guy that they'll kind of bring along at his own speed and play as they see fit. But a lot of these schools are just able to prioritize, like the highest level schools are able to prioritize kind of whoever they want. Like we were talking about earlier, you don't see Duke and doling out offers that often. I mean,
Right.
that's kind of something that Kentucky was
They
used to.
have that luxury. They have
That's
that luxury.
correct, but I
Yeah.
guess what I'm saying is like there's you have the highest level of the blue bloods, if you will, but even then, Kentucky, for example, you see I think nowadays more Kentucky offers than we saw when Calipari was there. That said, that all levels are prioritizing kids, but it's just based on the timeline. You see
Right.
the Division II and Division III, their timeline is really later in the process. They're monitoring kids going into their junior year, but ultimately, a lot of those kids can either go up or down, so that their entire board can shift. Whereas Division I has a little bit more clarity. When there's a surefire Division I kid,
Right.
there's a little bit more certainty in knowing that the trajectory is there and that he can stay on the board and you can continue to monitor those situations. So it's a little bit more flexible. And then you have Division III kids, which oftentimes I think we both find are really, 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 really good high school players
Right.
who just lack the size or athleticism usually to play at a higher level.
Right. So when I think about this, and I'm thinking about who is being prioritized specifically. One thing that I wanted to point out to the listeners is that offers are dependent on the location of the staff. So if a staff offers you a scholarship and they really are impressed by you as a player, that scholarship, when a new staff arrives, if someone has been hired or fired or takes another job, may not still be in place
That offer doesn't exist.
until you talk to them. Which is
Correct.
why I appreciate when kids say, I have been reoffered by blank. I respect that so much
Yeah.
because that shows a very close and appreciative understanding of the situation, which I think is really, really great.
Agreed.
Here's what I took it as when I think about the priority of who teams are recruiting. Okay. So you took it by collegiate level, I took it by literally like recruits. So the first and foremost teams or people that a team is recruiting is the team that they currently have on campus.
Oh, sure.
That is priority number one. Right now, I have had, and TBS has had tremendous success with getting people into the gym. It has been fantastic. We have been really, really appreciative of the college coaches who have been in attendance for our workouts. But at the end of the day, we have to be even more appreciative of it because every single coach that you talk to, their number one priority is the men that are in their locker room. And that's what it should be because it's the same way for every coach in that situation. And so if people are upset or why haven't you offered? Why haven't you guys, they have a team. That's why their financial well-being, their stability is based on the success that they have with that group of young men. So it's not necessary or really well thought out to say, oh, well, they should be da 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 da. Like, and I've had to catch myself on that a couple of times. And this is especially true for Division II schools based on their recruiting timelines. They don't really need to go out in the fall too often unless they really are prioritizing a handful of players for that specific thing at the high school level. After their current teams, obviously you got to talk about the portal. Like, you know for a fact, as well as anyone, like the portal has totally changed the game. Obviously, bigger, stronger, faster, more experience. There are disastrous scenarios when it comes to the portal, but there are also this idea of like the cream rises to the top. And so you have to see it as such. Like, coaches are always going to think about how is this player going to fill in for this situation? And you've seen very famous coaches themselves, like Rick Pitino, literally say, we may never recruit another high school kid ever again because they can't replace the seniors or the juniors that we're losing. Before I share the rest of my kind of breakdown on this, do you have a take on just what the portal has done and how it's impacted anything, either
Yeah,
positive or negative?
sure. No, I think obviously I think it's negative for high school basketball, high
Right.
school kids. But
Right.
overall, I think it's good for kids to be able to just have the flexibility to go to the levels they really, really quote unquote belong to or develop into. But I think about it more as like a it's kind of free agency now, and every
Sure.
year
It
it's a
is, yes.
1 year contract.
Right.
So it's basically think of all these kids re-entering a free agency pool because the portal is more or less that. Not every kid enters the portal, but it is an opt-in, opt-out clause, if you will. It is
Right.
a player option to get in and out of your contract if you so choose every year for every kid. And yeah, I appreciate how kids have been able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that a lot of times now it's really changed the strategy of the way that people recruit. If you're a high major team and you see a mid-major guy who's really going off, that can be, a path to success as opposed to taking a high schooler. If you're a mid-major or a low major Division I team, D2 guys who are going crazy, D3 guys like Toby Harris who handled business where they were, like all of these guys now are being seen in a capacity that was very, very difficult before. And so I think that it actually provides a lot of positivity. Obviously, the negative side is, are you leaving too soon? You're stuck in the portal. You don't have eligibility. You
The
didn't
rich get
100%. The rich get richer, like all of these different types of arguments. But at the end of the day, I think that that's just something that we have to help equip kids to be and their families to be able to navigate better. It just keeps kind of harping to me on this idea of like, go where you wanted, who has a legitimate plan for you, and then the rest will take care of itself. But we'll get into that more in a second. Then the next thing that I have was junior college players. They're older, they've got some collegiate experience under their belt. Obviously, the JUCO grind is one that I greatly respect. And I think that anyone who makes it through that is a huge shout out to them and tremendous success to them. But you're seeing a lot more teams that otherwise would not have been willing to take junior college players now take a chance at them. Recently the Simpkins twins being at Elon and now going off to high major programs is a great example of that. They started at the junior college level before going to Elon and having great success there under Billy Taylor. So I think that that's the next step. And then the next one after that is high school seniors. So at best, high school seniors are fourth on this list. That is not the case as it was 15 years ago. That is not the case when I was going through this process. So again, it gives me a tremendous amount of respect for high school seniors who are earning scholarship offers, who are taking visits, who are experiencing great things. But it gives me even more respect for the ones who are having to battle and scrap and claw their way through the process. Similar to what we've talked about with Drew Johnson and others in his shoes, because there's a heck of a lot more Drew Johnsons than there are Cole Clohers. And that's an important understanding for everybody to have throughout this scenario. And then the next one is the early offers, right? Like if you're a junior right now in the class of 2027 and you have any committable scholarship offer, that is a really big freaking deal. So understand that that is still a situation where a lot depends on who and what the staff is and where. But still, to me, that is kind of the order of operations for this. And the reason that I bring that up is to say, like, juniors, please do not rush this. Like, if you feel like you're not being thought of enough, you're probably right. But at the same time, this has to be the order of operations for a college. And your demonstration of understanding the process will only help you get through the process moving forward. This, to me, if anything, when I was doing research on this, says we just need more kids who are committed to the work and less committed to what it, the celebration of offering or getting an offer and posting it on social media. Like those offers for juniors, legitimately, they will not, the majority of them, take off until the May AAU period of their junior year and the spring and summer at following that going into their senior year. Like we've got a lot of time before you're even relevant in this process, guys. So please just continue to have a plan and stay the course. It'll all come together. I do believe that. Do you have any other final points before we get into the negative aspects?
No, I mean, I think I just have to echo everything you said. It's important to remember these early offers. I know you're saying more of juniors being early, but sophomores, freshmen, understand that is not an offer to commit. That is an offer to show a sign of we're interested in what you could be. Offers only come to fruition for those who end up panning out. In those regards. So I would just like to end on that.
I would say to kind of somewhat disagree, like we don't know if the offer is committable. So we can't say that all of them are not
I
committable.
understand.
But what I think, Jeff, you would agree with me on, like you just said, is like, please don't let that blind you from the fact that you better get better or it's not going to be committable.
My point being is that if you receive an offer as a sophomore or freshman, not only can you not really put pen to paper, so it really
Correct, correct,
isn't
correct.
committable.
Yes.
It is only verbally
Yes.
committable. But my point being is that until you can do that, until you can put pen to paper, it is only a show of interest.
Right.
It is not a sign of we really want you yet. I mean, it's a sign of we maybe could want you.
Right. No, I think that that's the right way to approach it 100%. Now, the fun part, which is the negative aspects of offer culture. So I'm hoping that people at minimum, if you had any questions or feeling a bit more informed about kind of the process, what an offer is, how offers vary by levels, and then who is being prioritized for offers right now throughout the recruiting process. But the negative part of it to me, Jeff, is so much more fascinating because I really believe we are in a very dark, dark time when it comes to amateur athletics. I don't believe that that's specific to North Carolina, but certainly the fact that we're in North Carolina, we get to see it firsthand from two different perspectives. So what are some of the things that you're seeing that you would describe as like negative aspects of offer culture?
I think kids just get too carried away and the whole timing of it all. Really, I think I said it earlier, but it just goes back to running your own race and just understanding that this is a process and kind of to your earlier point that you are not being prioritized. You are fourth on the list at the best. So I think the kind of the instant gratification, the expectation that you should have offers is now especially just it's not
Dangerous.
warranted. Yeah,
Yes.
it's dangerous. So I think that's kind of my one of my bigger qualms with the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that for me, what you said and what that makes me think of is the impact of social media and the way that it has kind of forget highlight culture. Like forget that. That's a totally separate conversation we've already touched on a few times, but it really brings me to think about the quote, comparison is the thief of joy. When you start to see people get offers, you naturally compare yourself to them. Why do they have this? And why am I not in a situation where I have that? I feel like I'm putting in the work. I don't feel like they're working as hard as me. I'm better than X, Y, and Z. And so that's negative for a couple of different reasons. For one, it's cyclical, right? And here's how. So for one, you have to build your brand individually in the world of NIL and in this space that you're in. You want to make yourself more marketable whether it be for other scholarship opportunities or NIL dollars. One way or another, that's a part of basketball for some of the higher profile kids that we see. I do think that all kids, as a result of that, get wrapped up in that culture when it isn't necessarily pertaining to them.
NIL.
Yeah, right. Like, you're not gonna get it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just what it is. That you need to be told this as kids. Like, that is not a realist. Get your money. You're scrapping and clawing right now. What do you mean, get your money? Anyway, that's not actually a part of my point. But the biggest part of the point being cyclical is you have to have more celebration to build your brand, whether it be from your team, your AAU program, your high school, you individually, whatever the case may be. By celebrating more, you're comparing more, just naturally. And as a result of comparing more, you have less appreciation for the fact that it's actually a pretty fantastic opportunity. So it's a very, like we just described, dangerous place to be, because you're constantly in this cycle of like, who's posting this? And listen, I firsthand, like, people who follow me on social media, I am very, very, very guilty of this. I am extremely guilty of this. Here's the problem. If you don't do that, you ain't getting them. Period. So there has to be a situation where it's like, yes, I have this amazing joy and just I'm so happy and proud of you. And I try and convey that more than anything else. But I think that for kids, it's kind of the same thing, right? If I'm posting this, or I'm posting this highlight or this camp or whatever the case may be, I'm comparing myself immediately to others who may or may not have that same opportunity. And that's tough, because that takes focus away from the work, the appreciation, the knowledge of the timeline we just said. That to me is more important than anything, because for all the 27s who are kind of rushing into this, guys, you don't need to rush. You need to work. And if you do that and you're in the right position, you're going to do just fine, 100%.
Imagine if we could just go back to a time with no social media. Now, how great would that be?
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, I see the benefits, but I'm so, as a teacher, like, forget being as a coach, as an educator, as someone whose job it is to educate and mold the minds of kids, it's constant. It's a constant thing. It's a constant
Well,
battle.
like you said,
I fear for my children.
yeah, well,
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I fear for my dog too. So, well, no, and to your point, I think like we both contribute to this, so it's part of it. That said, I agree with everything you said. You can't keep comparing yourself to others. Each individual is different.
Yeah, I think that that's a great way to summarize my long-winded soliloquy of it. Here's another thing that I think is really negative, and I'd love to hear your take on this. When we make everything about scholarship offers, in my opinion, we're taking away the human element of our interactions with others. And what I mean by that is, simply put, guys, coaches have lives too. They have lives. Like, my life is not exclusively centered around TBS or Team Loaded. Like, I will not miss a soccer game of my son. I will not miss a dance recital of my daughter. Like, I will prioritize time with my wife. I think that people sometimes think, like, oh, well, why haven't they done this yet? Why haven't they? You don't know what they're going through in that experience where they are. Like, I've had to have real conversations with people just around me in that regard recently, where it's like, we can't rush the process of what someone wants to do in terms of someone else's recruitment. All we can do is continue to show up on a day-to-day basis and do what's right. But talk to us a little bit about, like, that idea of, like, coaches have lives as well.
I'm actually going to give you the opposite side of it because I think we both have a friend who, while that's very true, everything you said is true. It dictates his every thought, and man, losing a kid, it kills him. So I think looking at instead of the dehumanizing side of it, looking at the humanizing side of it, and what the back to what the offer represents, and I see these some of these conversations that and relationships that these coaches build with these kids that are really genuine. And all that to be for not to say these kids are putting on a facade, but to not appreciate all the time that's going into it, that's
Sure.
worth noting as well.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think I was more coming at it from the perspective of like rushing a timeline
Yeah.
and understanding that like if a coach is taking time out of their day to call you,
Right.
it's a big deal.
Yeah, I
Like,
agree.
this isn't small potatoes.
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of a big one. You also mentioned a question before, and I'd love to hear your take on this as well. You said before we started recording that you've heard the question being asked by college coaches, do you want an offer from our school just to say that you have one? Can you speak more about that specifically?
Yeah, I think now especially with the levels we were speaking about earlier, where it's you have to be particular with who you're recruiting and the interest that you're showing these kids, and make sure it's mutual. A lot of these schools are not going to get left in the dark anymore. They are going to make sure that they're putting out offers that these kids are actually going to consider and that are of the appropriate level more often than not, in an attempt to then build these relationships with these kids rather than waste their time.
Yeah, I think that I definitely hear what you're saying there. And I also think that it's a part of like, well, do you just want to say this? Like, do you just want, a thousand likes
Yeah,
and just want to
that's the
show
other
up?
thing, the
Like,
social media aspect of it that we talked about earlier. It's the portrayal of something bigger than you are. And that goes back to these kids getting offered so early. That does nothing but give a false sense of hope and joy for kids that may never ever pan out, just so they can post something on social media so that there's some sort of relationship between a program and a college coach that may not even be there by the time these kids are old enough to commit to an offer.
no, it's well said. Let's talk about what I've been most looking forward to this specific part of the conversation. This is what the 40 some minutes that we have been leading up to this is what I'm most excited for. Favor offers, negative circles around players, agents. I mean, this is kind of like the dark underside of what we're navigating right now. And here's what I will say. Not all circles are bad. Some circles are excellent. Not all agents are bad. Some agents are excellence. They advocate for their players in a way where they are going to support them in the absolute utmost of their abilities. But favor offers, man, I don't know that there's anything more detrimental to a kid's mental well-being and trust in the process. Can you talk a little bit about like what a favor offer is, or like how would you define it?
Sure. I think we've alluded to it several times, just in talking about these offers in general throughout the podcast. Favor offers typically are just usually in a relationship builder. More often than not, it's between a coach and a program, or a school or what have you. Sometimes it's a play to get another kid, in the long term. But a lot of these offers you see will be put out to kids that everybody that sees the offer knows immediately that they can't go to that level. Let's say it's a young kid even, but I think more often than not, we see that these offers are just kind of falsified hope just to attempt to build a relationship somewhere down the line.
So what I think about within this is it an attempt for a high school or travel basketball program to build their brand, or is it a genuine effort to help a kid reach their ultimate goal? And to me, I can't think of a more honestly sickening way to navigate building your brand. Like, it's a situation where I'll give an example. You're early in the process in your recruitment. You just finished your sophomore year of high school. You're in the process of deciding to go to a travel basketball program or a new high school or whatever the case may be. Hey, if you come here, we'll get you X, Y, and Z. So they get them, they post them, and they don't call you on June 15th. That to me would be a concern, because if the offer was truly meant to show genuine interest in a kid and their potential, why then would they not contact the kid?
I remember a story a couple years back of a kid, talented kid. He basically was handled by this one coach from his freshman year, basically through his high, so through the time he graduated, Division One level kid, and had offers. Thought probably wanted to go to a higher level than he was going to. Thought he had offers that were not real. And I remember him telling people that he had that offer. Someone advised him to go with the coach that he was talking to and called the head coach of that school. They called the head coach of that school. The head coach of that school had no idea who the kid was. So that's a prime example too of this kid had his entire high school life or trajectory career basically wasted at the hands of someone who not only gained nothing out of it, but was basically just using this kid to kind of move forward. And that I think kind of speaks to what you're saying is this is something we see a lot nowadays. And you say it's sad to see people try to build their brand off of these kids, but sadly that's become the reality we see, especially now where you have these travel ball coaches or high school coaches or what have you that are more interested in being a celebrity than a coach, and more interested in the gimmicks of it all, and the status than the actual basketball of it all, and helping the kids. Like I think we get lost in the shuffle of this is what we're all supposed to be in it for, is helping kids at the end of the day. And there's a lot of narcissism and arrogance, I think, throughout the landscape.
Yeah, I think that to me, that point that you just made really makes me think of, and I do want to reiterate, guys, like, not all of the people in your circle are bad people.
Sure.
Like, not every agent that exists in this new age of NIL and all this stuff, not everyone is a bad person. No one is out there just trying to take advantage exclusively of kids. That's not how all people operate. Some people do operate like that. And so for me, I just really think that it's the biggest thing I thought of was you got to get around people that you legitimately can trust. And you've got to take their word for what it is, and you've got to make decisions as a group that are going to be in the best interest of the child. And I often think that at these in these day and age, in this day and age, we're seeing so many more of these situations where things are about clout, like you said, than they are about truly what's best for kids and their playing careers. And I really think that that's going to impact many kids negatively, especially at the emotional and the mental health level. The other thing that I'll tell you is, when you get around people you can trust, you need to have people who have the network and the confidence to be able to call people on their nonsense and to be able to call those coaches directly. Because I promise you, when it comes to mine, I will call a coach directly in a second.
Me and mine's.
Just listen, there's no in between with me on this. And that's, I think, a big part of the illusion that we get into is it's important to have people around you that are going to have the network not to call and get you an offer that you haven't rightfully deserved, but to call people on the nonsense that they're spewing. Oh, I can get you this. What does that mean? Players, let me tell you something. The only person that can get you an offer is you. You're the main part of this. When you have the opportunity to showcase your skills, when you're in between the lines within the beautiful rectangle that's 94 feet, you have to do your part by outplaying somebody else. That's what has to happen. All this other mess, you can have people advocate for you. You can have people get coaches to the gym. You can have people call, text, email, do whatever. And trust me, I'll put myself up there with anybody that does that. Anyone. At the end of the day, you have to deliver. And that is the only person that deserves the credit. When you get the scholarship offer, when you earn it, it should mean that much more because you did that. That's my take on it. I don't want to give away too much of my sound off because I am going to go, I'm not going to go long-winded like I have for the rest of this episode, but I did want to say that because not enough times are we sitting there saying, hey, that kid earned that. They did that. Not, I made a call to do that. No. Everybody's going to communicate. The kid has to play, period.
Too many people want to claim offers that the kid earned. Ultimately,
For what?
I agree with everything you said. But I do think that it's worth noting there are a lot of good people out there that are in it for the right reason.
100%. Yes.
And obviously, we're talking about those who are not. So this doesn't apply to you, disregard. And my last point on this topic is just clout versus credibility. And I think that is an important distinguishing factor that we need to have, not only whether we're talking about coaches or offers or whatever, but just understand that clout versus credibility. Credibility is what you desire. Clout is the rose-colored lenses that you're looking through, the false sense of whatever. Understand that at the end of the day, the real is what you're seeking out here.
Yeah, real is rare, but real wins 100%. All right, let's get into sound offs. What do you got for us today, my man?
Mine just is going to continue to stay in very vague terms. Just general hypocrisy. Just, I think people need to consider, do I treat others how all equally? Are people all treated fairly through the same general group? Just because I feel like I see that a lot in my day-to-day life is I think people are in the same room with others, and you watch them treat someone differently. For what reason? That's all. Yet they preach otherwise. What's practicing what we preach? Just remember the morals we stand on. That's it. Now I'm actually done.
I think that I really wish you'd be specific with these,
Can't.
but I know you can't for the sake of our lives. And we're not nearly successful enough at this to make this our full-time career. So let's just hold on to our jobs, Jeffrey. How do you feel about that? Here's mine. Mine is a two-pronged approach to this, and it's really a message to any adult, parent, coach, mentor, handler, agent, AAU recruiter, whatever the case may be, AAU runner. This is the two pieces of advice that I would have just throughout my time as a coach that I would deliver. We got to get back to some real truth with kids. Got to get back to some real truth, not just about their deficits on the court, not just about their deficits, whether it be in the classroom or areas they need to improve in their lives. I mean, truth about this process. Because we're setting up unrealistic and unfair expectations that only hurt kids. So be honest with them. Be honest about a school's interest. Be honest about where they stand in the recruiting process. Be honest with them about their deficits so that they can improve on them to be great. We can't even say that we've done a good job with that as a community in basketball right now. And the people that are doing it well are elevating extremely fast. The second part of that is we need to change the narrative from getting a kid an offer, which I just said I don't believe you can do, to advocating for that kid. That whole shift needs to take place. I will put myself up there with anyone in terms of advocacy, but there is not a single player that I have gotten an offer for. Now, will I make calls? Will I have texts? Will I do emails? That's daily. That's the work. But at the end of the day, what I'm thinking about is when the door is closed, when a young man is not in the room with you, will you be honest and will you gas that kid up to say why they deserve to be a part of a certain program with a college coach? Because if you can't be around people that do that, families, you've got to reevaluate the situation that you're in. Am I a perfect coach? 100% no. I have failed time and time again in many different public capacities. But at the end of the day, it's a matter of get people around you who will talk right about you when you're not even there. And if you guys can do that, and if we can all do that in this basketball space, you're going to have a really, really successful careers, and you're going to be in a position where your dreams will become a reality. So that's my sound off for today. Take it or leave it.
Totally agree. Good points.
Fantastic. I'll be honest with you. I think that this was my favorite episode thus far.
I think the conversation flowed quite well for the topic we had. I think we both had a lot we wanted to get off our chests here.
I think that there's more that I would have liked to have said, but I'm going to refrain from doing so just for the sake of it being past 10 p.m.
Shout out to the viewers. This is why we do it.
I hope that there's more than 25 people that see this. Am I confident that will happen?
Shout out to those 25, though.
No. Shout out to those 25.
Day
And we
one.
all know that Cooper Hart will not be one of them, so we don't
Hey,
have to worry about
shout out
it.
to Chris Horton.
That's right. Shout out to Chris Sauce, all the Chris's who
We got a
listen.
lot of Chris's in our viewership.
It's probably like 20% of our viewers are Chris's.
Probably right.
Well, listen, to the Chris's and to everyone else who is listening, thank you guys so much. We hope that this has been an informative episode, and one that you guys can continue to share information with or challenge us on. We're happy to do that. I do promise that in some capacity, Jeff will do his JOB and he will get the social media up and running that we just bashed publicly for the last 30 minutes.
Social media is stupid.
So let's just make
Protest.
more pages since it's so dumb. But I do promise that Jeff will eventually do his job in that. That is
My
so
free
important.
job. My free job.
Yes, of course. Because our production value or production budget rather is still $0, we're going to leverage social media a little bit more, and it won't just be my voice talking about it randomly whenever we have a new episode dropping every, 10 or 11 or 9 or whenever days there are. So
It'll be three retweets instead of just two.
perfect. That's exactly what I need. And that third retweet might be the difference between us going from 25 to 50
That
listeners.
third retweet could be LeBron.
It could be. It could be. Who knows?
Let's pay for an ad.
Could That's right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.